This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, January the 16th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Forms and Multimedia Director for SMA News Today. An increased amount of SMN protein, crucial to the survival of motor neurons in the blood, could reflect similar increases in the brain, spinal cord, and peripheral tissues after SMA treatment with the oral therapy risdiplam, researchers say. They believe these findings in animal models suggest that non-invasive measurements in the blood could indicate changes in SMN protein levels in the central nervous system. The research, risdiplam distributes and increases SMN protein in both the central nervous system and peripheral organs, appeared in the journal Pharmacological Research and Perspectives. SMA is caused by mutations in the SMN1 gene, which lead to little or no production of the SMN protein. While the SMN2 gene also codes for this protein, most of it is shortened and unstable. All of the genetic information contained within genes, or the DNA, is ultimately translated into proteins. However, several complex steps exist before a protein can be produced. DNA is transformed into pre-messenger RNA, which is then processed to originate a mature messenger RNA molecule. This process is called RNA splicing. Once messenger RNA molecules are produced, a process called translation begins, which gives rise to proteins. During splicing, introns, the part of the pre-messenger RNA that does not code for proteins, are removed, and exons, the part that does, are joined together. This phenomenon allows for a single gene to give rise to many different proteins. Risdiplam, formerly RG7916, developed by Roche in a collaboration with PTC Therapeutics and the SMA Foundation, changes the way pre-messenger RNA is spliced so that full-length messenger RNA and higher levels of functional SMN protein are produced from SMN2. Although with a different molecular target, Biogen's drug Spinraza, otherwise known as nusinersen, also works by increasing the amount of functional SMN protein by modifying SMN2 messenger RNA splicing. Its approval for pediatric and adult SMA patients validated the mechanism of action and effectiveness of this type of therapy, researchers noted. While progressive loss of specialized cells called motor neurons is the hallmark of SMA, leading to muscle atrophy, shrinkage, and weakness, the disease has been increasingly regarded as one that also affects other tissues and cell types. As such, effective treatment may require body-wide correction of SMN protein levels. Risdiplam is an orally administered small molecule that specifically targets exon 7 of SMN2 in both peripheral organs and the central nervous system, the brain and spinal cord. Compared to other SMN2 splicing modifiers, risdiplam showed greater efficacy and safety in prior studies. Using cell cultures and animal models of SMA, researchers evaluated the extent of central and peripheral tissue distribution of risdiplam, as well as biomarker levels following its administration. According to the team, which included investigators from Roche, PTC, and the SMA Foundation, this provides the basis to estimate changes in functional SMN protein levels in target tissues via blood sampling. The study showed that single or repeat daily administration of risdiplam for up to 39 weeks led to similar total levels in the plasma, brain, and muscle of mice, rats, and monkeys. Levels in plasma strongly correlated with the compound's amount in tissues over a broad range of concentrations. Analysis in different brain areas of the monkey further evidenced similar distribution of risdiplam. Also in monkeys, levels of risdiplam in the cerebral spinal fluid, a liquid surrounding the brain and spinal cord, reflected free compound concentration in plasma. As for the therapy's elimination from the body, experiments in rats and mice showed that risdiplam levels in plasma and the brain decreased in parallel. Orally administered radioactive labeled risdiplam reached its peak concentration in 2 hours in most rat tissues, with higher tissue plasma ratios in the spleen, liver, lung, bone marrow, and kidney cortex, all of which are known to be affected in SMA. Experiments in mice showed dose-dependent increases in SMN protein in the brain and muscle upon once-daily dosing with risdiplam. The potential medication extended the survival of mice treated over 219 days while improving their muscle function and increasing body weight. These in vitro and in vivo preclinical data strongly suggest that functional SMN protein increases seen in patients' blood following risdiplam treatment should reflect similar increases in functional SMN protein in the central nervous system, muscle, and other peripheral tissues, researchers stated. Risdiplam is being investigated in multiple clinical trials, including the Phase 2 and 3 trials, Firefish in type 1 SMA patients, and Sunfish in types 2 and 3 SMA patients. Both studies showed that a significant number of patients were able to achieve developmental milestones while also showing relevant motor function improvements. The milestones included babies being able to reach for things, lift their heads, sit without support, and preserve their swallowing and breathing functions. These are real-world functions that really matter to both patients and their families, said by Stuart Peltz, PTC CEO, in a recent interview with SMA News Today. The treatment candidate is also being studied in the Phase 2 Jewelfish trial in types 2 and 3 infants to adults, which is currently enrolling patients. A further trial in pre-symptomatic type 1 infants, called Rainbow Fish, is yet to open. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today community editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, January 15th, 2019. How a new federal law could make flying easier for people with disabilities. Well, I certainly hope this little incident hasn't put you off flying, miss, says Christopher Reeve in the 1978 Superman film. Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel. Well, if you're Lois Lane and the Man of Steel comes to your rescue when you fall out of a damaged helicopter, that statement may be true. For people with disabilities, however, flying is a bit more difficult and risky. One of the most daunting risks that a wheelchair user faces every time they board an airplane is the uncertainty of whether the airline will handle their wheelchair properly. Given that airplane design doesn't allow for wheelchair users to remain in their chairs, the devices have to be stored underneath the planes. Confined within these tight spaces, chairs are susceptible to severe damage and are often poorly handled by airline personnel. However, a new federal law which falls under the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, could drastically improve flight accommodations for wheelchair users in the United States. Thanks to the efforts of Senator Tammy Duckworth, a Democrat from Illinois and disability advocate, this legislation requires airlines to report damaged or lost wheelchairs and scooters. The veteran, who had both of her legs amputated during the war in Iraq in 2004, uses a wheelchair full-time. She's also no stranger to issues with flying, since being non-ambulatory, and has had two wheelchairs break during flights between Washington and Chicago O'Hare International Airport. "My wheelchair is my legs, and it can't be easily substituted," she told the Daily Herald. This is a great step toward making travel more accessible, and Senator Duckworth deserves all the praise for pushing this initiative forward. Still, I propose more action once these reports start coming in later this month. While those of us with disabilities are expecting these numbers to be high, I imagine that the majority of the able-bodied population will be quite shocked at the extent of this problem. For those in Washington who are listening, here are my suggestions for how to further advance Senator Duckworth's mission. Coordinate a panel in DC on this subject. While I'm beyond grateful that Senator Duckworth made her voice heard, Congress needs to hear from many other people with disabilities. I propose that the senator should help facilitate a panel of Americans with disabilities to talk directly to Congress and the FAA about their experiences with flying. This panel should be diverse, comprised of paralytics and amputees, and also those of us who live with rare diseases like SMA and cerebral palsy. Impose stricter regulations on how airlines handle wheelchairs. Once these airlines do send in their reports of how many wheelchairs and scooters they've either damaged or lost, they need to reevaluate how their employees handle chairs. These reviews should identify how airline employees are damaging or losing track of chairs and develop solutions to stop this from happening. Airlines should work with engineers to allow people to remain in their wheelchairs during flights. Maybe I'm too much of an idealist, but I don't think it's unreasonable for airlines to at least consider this as a possible solution. If I can have a robotic arm mounted to the side of my wheelchair, surely there's someone out there who can figure out how I can stay in my chair on an airplane. We're in the year in which Blade Runner takes place, for crying out loud. This summer, I'll be flying to Anaheim, California with my parents and caregiver for the 2019 Cure SMA conference. It will be my first time flying since I was 7 years old, and it would be an understatement to say that I'm nervous about the airline employees handling my chair correctly. I hope that Senator Duckworth's efforts to improve flight accommodations and this new law will be a major wake-up call for airlines across the nation. This is a monumental step, but it's just the beginning. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Editor for SMA News Today.
Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found by going to our website at www.smanewstoday.com. They're also available on SoundCloud, Spotify, and on iTunes. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Forms and Multimedia Director.